Welcome back. We're in Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph in the Ein Yaakov Bavar on page Pei Beis, paragraph Nun Zayin. V'Daniel Lehechan Azal. Where did Daniel go when Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were ordered to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image? And usually Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah and Daniel were a pair, so to speak. Where was Daniel? Amar Rav, Lemichra Nahara Rava B'Tiveria. Rav said he went to dig a big canal in Tiveria, or some Rishonim have Vigirsa Betura in the mountain. Shmuel Amar Latuye Bizra de Aspasta. Shmuel said he went to bring hay to feed Nebuchadnezzar's animals. Rav Yochanan Amar Latuye Chazire de Alexandria Shamitzrayim. And Rabbi Yochanan said he went to bring pigs from Alexandria, Egypt. Alexandria, Egypt wasn't called Alexandria then because it was before the time of Alexander the Great, but there was a city there by whatever name it was called. And he went to bring pigs from there. The Yad Ramah says that each of these Amoraim is simply saying what he heard about where Daniel was. There are other Mefarshim who try to darshan more into why each of these Amoraim would have said this particular explanation. According to Yad Ramah, the Rishon, it's simply each one had a tradition that that's where he was, and so that's what he said. So the Gemara asks on Rabbi Yochanan, Eini, is that so, that he went to bring pigs from Mitzrayim? Vatznan, Todus HaRofei Omer, we learned in a Mishnah, Todus HaRofei says, the Egyptians would not allow any cow or pig out of Alexandria without first cutting out its womb. So what good would it do to bring a few pigs from Mitzrayim to Bavel? They would be the last generation. It seems like a long way to go just to get something to eat. If he was going to get pigs to raise, that's one thing, but if, just to go to get something to eat seems like a long way to go. So the more answers, Zutre Aiti Velodatayu. Since they were small, I think I skipped some words, that Chotchim Ha'im Shalav Yishol Shalot Teleid, they would cut out the womb so that it would not give birth. The more answers, Zutre Aiti Velodatayu. They brought small ones and they didn't think to the pigs were so young, they didn't think to cut out their wombs before they sold them. Now, we could have a discussion about the halachic permissibility of raising pigs, but it doesn't say Daniel was raising them. Nebuchadnezzar sent him to get pigs. Nebuchadnezzar's pig farmers were going to raise them. So that's not a question. However, we could have a discussion, and we will have a discussion about going to Egypt. Is it permitted to go to Egypt, to live in Egypt? Under what circumstances? And since it's the first year after Pesach, it seems like a very appropriate thing to discuss, going back to Egypt. A number of years ago, a guy in my office came to my office, asked me if I could help him find a Seder in Egypt, because it was spring break. His kids had spring break, and they were going to go to Egypt for Pesach. I said, you're going the wrong way. But he wanted to go anyway. In the end, he didn't go because that's exactly when the, what do they call it? Arab Spring. Yeah, yeah. Arab Spring started, so he went instead to China for Pesach. But in any event, we'll discuss the permissibility of making these trips. I have the last one, but we're just going to read a few more lines. Tanur Banan, Shosha Yubo Taitza, there were three partners in that plan to get Daniel out of the picture so that he would not be with Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Daniel u'Nebuchadnezzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu amar, Hashem said, Leizol Daniel mehacha, let's get Daniel out of here, d'lo leimru b'zchutei natzol, so that nobody will think that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were only saved in the merit of Daniel. V'Daniel amar, Ezo mehacha, Daniel said, I want to get out of here, d'lo lekayim b'psilei elokehem tisruvun v'ba'esh, so that I will not be the fulfillment of the pasuk that idols should be burnt in fire. Since Nebuchadnezzar worships me, maybe I will be burnt in the fire because Avodah Zarah has to be burnt. Nebuchadnezzar Amar, in other words, maybe I won't have the schos to be saved from the fire. Nebuchadnezzar said, Yezel Daniel Mehacha, let's get Daniel out of here. So that people will not say about me, Nebuchadnezzar, that I burnt my God in fire. Because he didn't know that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah would be saved. So he figured if I throw them into the fire, they'll be burnt. And how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar bowed down to Daniel? It says that then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, fell down on his face and bowed down to Daniel the Gomer, etc. That is the Gemara for today. And as I said, the topic we'll discuss is going to and living in Egypt. And time permitting, or if not, then tomorrow, we will talk about whether there is any prohibition on living in Spain and Germany. So all of these are things discussed in the poskim. But it starts with the question of whether there's a prohibition of living in Egypt. So,
and is it living or just visiting also?
Also to be discussed. Okay. So the Rif, the very last halacha in the Rif, in Sanhedrin, the Rif, one of the earliest Rishonim. He was the Rebbe of the Rambam's father, and or maybe even a little earlier than that. Okay, and he wrote a halachic work in which basically follows the Gemara, but he deleted most of the back and forth discussion, and also only discusses things that are relevant bizman hazeh, relevant in our times. So the very last halacha in Sanhedrin says Yerushalmi. It says in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Lo tosifun lashuv b'derech hazeh od. The pasuk says, you shall not return in this road again. Lishiva, referring to Egypt. The pasuk in Parsha Shoftim says the king should not have many horses, so that he should not take down the people to Egypt where horses come from, because Vashem Amar, because Hashem said, Lo tosifun lashuv b'derech hazeh od. You should not return on this road again. Lishiva ein atachozer, you may not return to live in Egypt. But you may go down for business and to conquer the land. Schora and prakmatia are two words for business. So right away, the Rif is telling us one may not live in Egypt, but one may go down to Egypt for business or for war. Now, there are two different phrases here, referring to business, and at the end of all the postgame, we'll see a suggestion of what the two different phrases mean, because it will answer the questions that we will have about some of the other postgame, and so I want to do it in that order. That is what the Rif says. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Hey. Halachos Zayin and Chet say, "Mutar lishkon b'chol olam chutz meretz Yisrael." One is permitted to live anywhere in the world except Egypt. As an aside, Rambam seems to be saying one is permitted to live in Chutz Laaretz, even though the Gemara says things like someone who lives in Chutz Laaretz, he's like he has no God. So, far should say, the Rambam apparently holds it's only referring to somebody who was living in Eretz Yisrael and goes to live in Chutz Laaretz. But if you were born in Chutz Laaretz, there's nothing wrong with living in Chutz Laaretz. And that's a whole separate discussion of whether the Rambam holds there's a mitzvah to make aliyah or not. That's a famous question and discussion for another time. But he says you're allowed to live anywhere in the world except Egypt. What's the obvious question?
He lived there.
Rambam lived in Egypt. So that there's a lot of discussion in the poskim about, in the later, in the Rishonim and Achronim, about how do we resolve this? So we'll have to see. What is considered Egypt? I mean, Hayam Hangadol Hamaravi, from the western Great Sea, Arba Meot Parsa, a distance of 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa. Kineged Eretz Kush, opposite Ethiopia, Kineged Hamibar, and opposite the desert, Hakol Asur Li Tashevba. All of that you're not allowed to settle in. Ushulsham Mekomot Yizhira Torah Shelo Lishuv Mitzrayim. In three places, the Torah warned us not to return to Mitzrayim. Important word there, not to return to Mitzrayim. Lo Tosifun Lashuv Aderech HaZehod. It says, do not return on this road again. Lo Tosif Od Lirata. It says, we read this in, actually, no, that's the next pasuk that we read on the seventh day of Pesach. Lo Tosif Od Lirata. You will never see it again. And Lo Tosifu Lirotam Od Adolam. We read in the seventh day of Pesach. It says, as you see the Egyptians today, you shall never see them again. Alexandria Bichlal Haisur, and Alexandria is included in the Isur. Possibly he's mentioning Alexandria because it was a new city, even though our Gemara says Daniel went to Alexandria, but it wasn't Alexandria, it was some other city on the place where Alexandria now is, because Alexandria, again, is named after Alexander the Great. Clearly, Alexandria didn't exist in the time of the Torah, or even in the time of Daniel. Just some other city in the relatively same location with a different name. So perhaps that's why the Rambam is saying Alexandria is included. Halacha chet, mutar lachzor l'eretz Yisrayim, l'schora u'l'prakmatia. One may go to Mitzrayim for schora and prakmatia. So some learn that schora means taking merchandise to Egypt and prakmatia means taking merchandise from Egypt, and as I said, we'll see another explanation at the end of the discussion about the difference between schora and prakmatia. L'chbosh arzot acherot. Now the Rif said you're allowed to go to Egypt to conquer land. Rambam says l'chbosh arzot acherot, to conquer other lands. Perhaps he's saying, why would you want to conquer Egypt since you're not allowed to live there? So he means if you have to go through Egypt to conquer some other place, if the Israeli army had to go to Uganda by land instead of by plane to release the hostages, they would have been allowed to march through Egypt.
So are we talking about seeing Egyptians or seeing the land?
Because, excellent question.
Because the psukim imply seeing Egyptians. But flying, if it's the land, then maybe flying over it's bad too.
Okay, or to rephrase your question.
We say the Egyptians are gone, we say.
Right, that's what I thought you were going to ask. Sancheirov mixed up the nations. So are the Egyptians the Egyptians? And is the prohibition on the Egyptians or on Egypt? So hold on, okay, let's hold on.
I think your example was... Could the army go through or
the Rambam
fly
says
over? Okay. Right, but I'm...
Well, they didn't fly over Egypt. They flew down the Red Sea and to avoid Egyptian radar. So could they have flown over Egypt? Okay, well, so hold on. Okay. V'ein lo kin alav, v'ein asur el lishtakeh sham. The prohibition is only to settle there. V'ein lo kin alav zesh v'ei taknisa mutarhu. Now, you do not get makos for transgressing this lo saseh. You only get makos for transgressing a lo saseh that involves action. Now, going to Egypt is not prohibited because you're allowed to go to Egypt for business. So actually entering the land is not an isser. And once you get there and you decide to settle, that does not involve an action. That simply is the failure to leave it after you went there for business and you liked it and you stayed. So there's no action involved. It's an inaction, so there's no makos. Vir Eli, so he says, it would seem to me.
An action. You can't build a house. You know, there are specific actions that
okay.
Could be involved.
Could be. Vir Eli, I mean, exactly how we define an action for purposes of makos is, of getting makos is also a very large halachic discussion. And it seems to me, Shim Kavash Melech Yisrael Eretz Yisrael Mopi Beitin, seems to me that if the king, a king of Israel would conquer Egypt with permission of the Sanhedrin, Shim Uteret, then it all becomes permitted. The prohibition was only for individuals to go there. olishkon ba miviat goyim, or to live there when it's in the hands of goyim, mivneishin maaseh mekulkalim, because it's their actions are messed up. Yoter mikol haratzot, more than other nations, they're more immoral or they're bigger idolaters. Shenemar k'maseh eretz yisrael, as the Torah says, do not do like the Egyptians do. So that is what the Rambam says. Another Rishon, Sefer Yerayim, was a French-German Rishon student of Rabbeinu Tam, so in the late 1100s. He says, it's also a Sefer, like the Sefer HaMitzvos, which lists the 613 mitzvos, because even though we have a tradition, there are 613 mitzvos, we don't know what they are. So different Rishonim have different lists of what are the 613 mitzvot. So the Sefer Yerayim says in Simen Shin Tet, Lo tosifu lashuv baderach tziva borei shlo yashuvu Yisrael v'Mitzrayim. Hashem commanded Jewish people not to go back to Mitzrayim, quotes the Pasuk. And he says, even though we say in the Gemara in Brachos that Rabbi Akiva said that even the Gemara in Brachos says that Yehuda Ger Amoni is permitted to marry a Jew, even though we say that Amoni and Moavi men may not marry Jews for three generations, but we permitted Yehuda Ger Amoni to marry a Jew right away. Mitam Shabbat Sancheriv Ubilbilit Olam Kulo, because Sancheriv came and mixed up all the nations. Begam Mitzrim Nit Babalu, also the Egyptians got mixed up with all the other nations. Kedetanya Betosefta. The Kiddushin, as it says in Tosefta in Kiddushin, Amarlo Rabbi Kiva leminyamin ger mitzri ta'ita kvar basach erbu belikol olam, that Rabbi Kiva said to minyamin ger mitzri, you're mistaken, you can marry a Jew because Sancheriv mixed up all the nations and the people living in Egypt are not Egyptians. Ein latir mitam ze lashuv, but the Sefer Yerayim says this is not a reason why it would be permitted to go to Egypt. Shari derech Mitzrayim nesar, v'lo b'Mitzrayim. The prohibition is on going down the road to Mitzrayim. The language of the Torah is, lo tosifu lashuv baderech. You may not get on the highway to Mitzrayim. It doesn't say you may not see Egyptians, but you may not get on the highway to that land. V'lo b'Mitzrayim.
Is there one specific route?
That's an interesting question, but hold on 1 second. V'lov mitzrim hadavar taloi. It's not dependent on Egyptians. The understanding of this right now is it means it's that the prohibition is to travel from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt. Any route from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt would be that route. And for and furthermore, lo kaim lan k'Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, who said that Sancheriv mixed up the Egyptians, because Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua argued with him, and bring a pasuk from the Nevi'im, from Yechezkel, I think, that when Sancheriv mixed up all the nations, when we say he mixed up all the nations, we mean he transplanted them. He took people from here and settled them here, and people from here and settled them here, like the 10 tribes who were taken from Eretz Yisrael and resettled somewhere else. And that's, we'll discuss the 10 tribes later in the Perek. So the Navi says that the Egyptians will return to their land after 40 years. So Rabbi Kiva held the Egyptians also got mixed up like all the other nations, but the other Tanaim learned from that Pasuk in Yechezkel that the Egyptians returned to their land. So the Egyptians are the Egyptians. Now the Egyptians today are at best a mix of Arabs, and the ancient Egyptians were black. The Egyptians today are a mix of Arabs and blacks. Then you can look at them and it's different. See, like Anwar Sadat was black. He had features, African features, as opposed to other Egyptians who have Arab features. But in any event, okay, and he brings a proof that the Egyptians are still the Egyptians, because Gemara in Sukkah says that why did the Jews of Alexandria deserve to be destroyed? Because they transgressed this prohibition on settling in Egypt. And that was well after, this is, that was in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, or and well after Sancheirov. So why, if Sancheirov mixed up all the nations and the Egyptians are not the Egyptians, why did the people, the Jews of Alexandria deserve punishment? So it has to be either we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and the Egyptians are not, the Egyptians are the Egyptians, or because they traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt. And that's the prohibition. And then he says, "Ra'iti v'shamati kama b'nei adam tovim shachul Mitzrayim." He said, "I've heard of many good people who went to Egypt, v'nifleiti al masamchu, and it's a wonder to me what do they rely on that they go to Egypt, v'yesh lamar, and yet he must be referring to settling. In those days, there wasn't tourism like there is now." Right? So v'yesh lamar, we have to say midichtiv baderech hazesh lo asar ketuv el ashuv me'eretz Yisrael Mitzrayim, that the prohibition is only to go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, v'ashar atzot mutar, but to go from some other land to Egypt is permitted. And I'll bring you a proof from our Gemara, v'smach ledavar shehalach Daniel mi'bavel Alexandria shel Mitzrayim, from the fact that Daniel went from Bavel to Mitzrayim to buy pigs for Nebuchadnezzar. The Daniel Eichan Azal, as Gemara says, where did Daniel go? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Shalach Lavi Chazrim Magzancho Shem Mitzrayim.
But he didn't go to live. He just went to go shopping. So it's even a bigger problem.
Right. So he doesn't seem to make distinction between living and going at all.
It would even include business.
According to Sefer Yerayim, it would seem that the prohibition is on traveling from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt for any reason. And it's only permitted to travel from some other land to Egypt.
Right. And the only way to get from Bavel to Egypt is through Eretz Yisrael.
But it's not a person from Eretz Yisrael. That's not true. Incidentally, you could take a boat down the Gulf of... what's a Gulf called? The one where we fight with Iran? Gulf. Arabian Gulf? Is it the Arabian Gulf? And then around Saudi Arabia and up the Red Sea. So it definitely could get there by boat. The
just to make sure I'm keeping score right, Rabbi Akiva was specifically talking about this pasuk as far as
Rabbi Akiva was, somebody said to Rabbi Akiva, "I'm an Egyptian, and I'm going to marry this person who's going, and my children are going to marry this person, my children are going to marry this person, and then eventually my descendants will be able to marry Jews." Because Egyptians are disqualified for, I think, 10 generations for marrying Jews.
Okay.
Or Egyptians that. 3 generations. I forget. I think Egyptians are 3 generations. Okay. And Rabbi Akiva said to him, "No, you've got it wrong. You're not really Egyptian because the Sancheirov mixed up all the nations."
But he wasn't.
That's where Rabbi Akiva comes in. Okay. The just as an aside, back in our introduction to Ein Yaakov, we said we don't learn halacha from Agadata. And yet here you see he's bringing Aragadita as a proof for a halacha. When we said we don't learn halacha from Agadita, we meant if the Gemara tells a story about Rabbi so-and-so, we don't know if it's a reliable story because the way the stories were passed down, so we cannot derive halacha from it. In contrast to that, if a pasuk says that somebody did something, one of the Nevi'im or a tzaddik in Tanakh did something, or if the Gemara interprets that a Navi or a tzaddik in Tanakh did something, we have to interpret that in a way that's consistent with halacha. They had to follow halacha also. So if the Gemara says Daniel went down to Egypt, we can learn a halacha from there that it must be some circumstances under which a Jew can go to Egypt. And now we're trying to figure out what are those circumstances. So what we have so far is that the Rambam said, it's permitted to go to Egypt for business, but not to live there. The Yerayim says, also Rishon, the Yerayim says it's permitted to go to Egypt except from Eretz Yisrael. Is there a question?
As you say, is this all voluntarily? Because maybe Daniel didn't go voluntarily. If he was
The Gemara says, 3 people were involved in that scheme three, not three people, three thoughts were involved in that scheme. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, and Hashem. So it sounds like Daniel had some element of voluntariness. But that's a good question. Clearly, if Jews are taken captive and taken down to Egypt, you can't say they're transgressing anything, although according to the Rambam in the Rif, they would have to get out of there as soon as possible. Another Rishon, a later Rishon, the Sefer Mitzos Hagadol, quotes the Sefer Yireyim and says, with this we can answer the our kasha on the Rambam. Rambam said you're not allowed to live in Egypt, and the Rambam lived in Egypt. Must be that the Rambam agrees that the prohibition is to travel from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, and therefore it was permitted because the Rambam was from Spain. He was born in Spain, grew up in Morocco, and then lived in Egypt, and so everything works out, except for one problem. The Rambam did travel to Mitzrayim from Eretz Yisrael because it's not well known, unless you read a biography of the Rambam. Everyone knows Rambam was born in Spain and grew up in Morocco. He then moved to Eretz Yisrael. And then he left Eretz Yisrael and settled in Spain. He settled in Egypt. So our question is back. The Sefer Mitzvot Gadol apparently didn't know that fact. But the question remains, how did the Rambam live in Egypt? And he traveled there from Eretz Yisrael. The Ritva on Yoma Daf Lamed Chet Amud Bet says that he asked a question on the Rambam. He says, Almas Samchu Ha'olam Lagur Bezeh Mizman Zeh Mitzrayim. What do people rely on to live in Egypt? Kigon Rambam Zal, the Kamu Gdolim Achirim, and other Gdolim. Some say that the cities of ancient Egypt have been destroyed, and these are new cities, and the prohibition doesn't apply anymore. That doesn't seem to fit with the language of the Rambam, which says even Alexandria, and Alexandria is a new city. So that's one answer. And he brings a second answer that the prohibition is only to go from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. V'anachon yoter, and the Ritva says the most correct answer to me, in my mind, is Shein esor hu ele bizman shisor shirin al admatam. The prohibition is only when the Jewish people are living in Eretz Yisrael. V'bizman hazeh nigzar aleinu liot nidachim b'chol katzvei haaretz. Nowadays, when the Jews are in any event dispersed over the entire world, kol chutz al haaretz echad hu. All of chutz al haaretz is the same. Not a question of control. Question of population.
Jewish minority.
When the Jews have the ability to live, when all the Jews or the majority of Jews have the ability to live in Eretz Yisrael, which as a practical matter requires control, but that's not the focus. Then there would be a prohibition on living in Egypt. But Bizman Hazeh, when in any event the Jews are out of necessity live everywhere in the world, so there's no prohibition on living in Egypt. The prohibition is only not to voluntarily choose Chutz La'aretz over Eretz Yisrael.
This is kind of going the other way. Is Egypt the same? Is Israel the same?
You could put it that way. That still does not seem to have answered the question on the Rambam, because the Rambam's language is it's permitted to live anywhere in the world except Egypt. Now, in a time when all the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, presumably the Rambam would want us to live in Eretz Yisrael also. Although, as I said, that is a question. There's a question whether there's a mitzvah nowadays to make aliyah, whether the Rambam holds that there's such a mitzvah or not. But when Mashiach comes and everyone's living in Eretz Yisrael, or in a time of the Beis Hamikdash, the first Beis Hamikdash, when the majority of the Jewish people were living in Eretz Yisrael, presumably the Rambam would want us to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam's language is, it's permitted to live anywhere in the world except Egypt. So it's not clear if the Rambam would agree with what the Ritva is saying.
Is the Ritva saying with the population, or is that...
That's the Ritva. The Ritva. The Ritva says that.
So would they either not say it has anything to do with, you know, because nowadays there's a whole, you know, big locus about when we're authorized to be in Eretz Israel, et cetera, et cetera.
He's not.
I guess it didn't.
He's not talking about that. He's just talking about whether we are, as a matter of fact, in Eretz Israel. There are those who estimate that by the year 2030, the majority of Jews will be in Eretz Yisrael. And if Mashiach has not come by then, it will raise a lot of interesting halachic questions. There are mitzvos that don't apply when the majority of Jews are not in Eretz Yisrael, like mitzvah of Yovel, or mitzvah Shemitah that we practice today, according to most poskim, is only drabanan. But if the majority of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah Shemitah would become doraisa. And it would change a lot how Shemitah is practiced. And so that's going to raise a lot of interesting halachic questions. Hopefully Mashiach will come before then and resolve this.
That's the same year as the 5790.
Okay. And therefore? What's the significance of that?
Or
maybe, I don't want, maybe I don't want to ask.
You've heard that. 200, even though we say maybe the years are mixed up, 200, that the Kriyas HaMezuzah could be
241. You told me 241
no,
years.
200. 210, 5790, it's going to...
Okay. All right. We'll come back to that. Lean that air. Okay. The, we will come back to what year it is. The Rabbeinu B'chaye says... He has a completely different understanding of the mitzvah, which would make it okay for the Rambam to live in Egypt, except that's not how the Rambam understood the mitzvah. So we'll still have to come back to the to understanding the Rambam. But the Rabbeinu B'chaye says in Parshat Shoftim, Dvarim, Yud Zayin, Tet Zayin, Lo Tosifun Lashuv V'derech HaZeod, you should not return on this road again. Zo mitzvah l'sha'ah. This is a temporary mitzvah. So that Jewish people will not learn the ways of the Egyptians. Because the Egyptians were known for all kinds of abominations. Therefore, Hashem told the Jewish people, don't go down to Egypt. This is not a permanent mitzvah. That the Torah would prohibit living in Egypt forever. There have been Jewish communities in Egypt for as long as we can remember. This is Rabbeinu B'chaye writing in the 1300s. And already then, there were well-established Jewish communities. If this was a permanent mitzvah, the holy Jewish people would not be lenient about it. And we would see that in all generations, the rabbis would be yelling at them, why are you living in, not yelling, rebuking them, why are you living in Egypt? So it's not a permanent mitzvah. Hashem didn't want the generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the few generations after that, the early generations of the Jewish people didn't want them going to Egypt, but it was never meant to be a permanent mitzvah, which would explain how the Rambam could live there. But again, the Rambam doesn't hold that way, so that doesn't answer the kasha from the Rambam's words on the Rambam's actions. So we'll have to come back to that still. There are those, like the Rambam, who hold it's a permanent mitzvah. But the prohibition is only on coming to there from Eretz Yisrael. And that's implied in the language that you should not go down this road. Those of you who are on the road to Eretz Yisrael, don't make a U-turn and go down to Egypt. So far, again, those are the Rishonim who we have who comment on this. So again, the Rif said it's only prohibited to live there, but it's okay to go down for business. And that's what the Rambam said as well. Yerayim said that prohibition is on going from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, not on going from other lands to Mitzrayim, and brought a proof from our Gemara, from the fact that Daniel went to Mitzrayim to buy pigs. The Ritva gave three answers, and his preferred answer was, now we're in Golos, so all bets are off. Rabbeinu B'chaye holds, it's not a permanent mitzvah at all. It was just a temporary mitzvah for the early generations of the Jewish people. The Radvaz, one of the commentaries on the Rambam, and a prolific author of Svarim, the Rebbe of the Arizal, or of the Arizal's Rebbe, in Nigla, in other words, not in Kabbalah, not his Kabbalah Rebbe, but his Gemara Rebbe. So he lived in the 1500s and was chief rabbi of Egypt. And so he writes in his commentary on this Rambam, Vim Tomar, and if you'll say, Almas Samchul Ishkan Mitzrayim, so what do people rely on to live in Egypt? So V'yesh Mishkatav, some say that the prohibition is only on going from Eretz Yisrael to Egypt. Vein Zeh Tama speak, because that's not a good enough answer, says the Radvaz. Dakra Delo Teshuva Derech Zeh Od Necha, that's fine as far as the pasuk that says don't go on this road again. But the Rambam says there are three prohibitions. One of them is, you shall never see the Egyptians again. But so those other psukim, what are you going to say about them? Yeshi tein tam. So we could say, Shalasra Torah el le'reid lagur sham u'shtakea. The Torah only prohibited going to settle in Egypt. And he brings the Yerushalmi that the Rif brought, that the prohibition is on settling there, not on going there for business. V'chola yordim tchila lo yardu l'shtakea el eschora. And those who went down to Egypt originally did not intend to live there. They went down for business. And even though they then settled there, Ein kan lav ela isur ba'alma. It's not a losase. The losase is to go to Egypt with the intention of settling there. To go there with a permitted intention, like to do business, is permitted. And then to stay there is a minor transgression. It's not one of the 613 mitzvahs. And because there's so much trouble to move around and they couldn't earn a good living elsewhere, they didn't worry about this minor transgression of staying in Egypt after they went there with permission. It's like the difference between people who sneak across the U.S.-Mexico border and those who come here with a visa and overstay their visa. Right, that's exactly the difference. He's saying that overstaying your visa is okay. It's only coming illegally that's not okay. It all depends on your intention. Yeah, their intention was to go for business. And then when they saw that they could make a good living in Egypt, and they said, you know, this business of schlepping around the world before the airplane's invented is kind of tough. So I'm going to stay in Egypt. I'm going to overstay my halachic permissibility.
Isn't that exactly why the king wasn't supposed to have the horses, so that people wouldn't go to get them and then stay there?
So apparently he's understanding that the prohibition was that the king would set up an outpost in Egypt to supply him with fresh horses all the time. But that's how he seems to be understanding it. He says, and this is implied in the words of the Rambam. The words of the Rambam are, Asur l'hityashev ba. The prohibition is on settling there. V'efshar sharishanim ayu farshim kasher katavti. It's possible the early generations understood like I'm writing. And if you'll say, you could ask this question on the Rambam himself, because he settled in Egypt. And his family, Rambam settled in Egypt, and his family stayed there for about five generations, and were the leaders of the Egyptian community for five generations, before they then moved to Eretz Yisrael and Seattle. There are a lot of descendants of the Rambam in Seattle. Seriously. V'yesh lomar, danus hayal pi ha-malchut, she'erofei la-melech la-sarim. So it could be that he did not originally intend to go to Egypt permanently. He went down to Egypt because things weren't working out for him in Eretz Yisrael, and he got a job as the king's doctor. And then he couldn't leave. V'gamani nityashavti sham zman rubeh. I also lived there for a long time. L'omod Torah, first to learn Torah, ulalamda, and then to teach Torah. V'kavati sham yeshiva, and I opened a yeshiva there. And under such circumstances, it's permitted. But then I moved to Yerushalayim in his old age. The Radvaz, according to some, lived about 110 years. He lived a very long time. Different historians have different theories, but he lived well over 90 years for sure. And according to some, 110 years. And in his older age, he settled in Yerushalayim. But he says, I went there to learn Torah. That's permitted. And then I opened a yeshiva and taught Torah, and that's permitted. And eventually I left there and went to Eretz Yisrael. A later Achron, Rav Chaim Abulafia, so he writes in his commentary on the Rambam also that the Rambam must have relied on some of these answers, that either he never intended to settle there or he came from the West. As I pointed out, in fact, he came from Eretz Yisrael. Whether he intended to live in Eretz Yisrael or was there temporarily, not clear. But he finds all these answers difficult as well. So lastly, the Aruch HaShulchan. When you hear the Aruch HaShulchan, your sort of Yechiel Michel Epstein, he lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. He wrote the same time as Chafetz Chaim. The same time as Chafetz Chaim published in the Shibura, he published Aruch HaShulchan, except the Aruch HaShulchan is on Kol HaTorah Kula. The Mishnah Berurah is only on the Aruch Chaim section of Shulchan Aruch. The daily laws, davening and Yom Tov and Shabbos. Aruch HaShulchan covers the entire Torah, including portions that do not apply nowadays. So in Hilchot Malachim, Simon Ayin Dalet. So the part of it about that doesn't apply nowadays is called the Aruch HaShulchan HaAtid, future Aruch HaShulchan. And he writes, as promised, that we would come back to what's the difference between schora and pragmatia. So he says, schora, two words for doing business. Schora is intending to go there for a few days to buy and sell, going to the market. You go to the market, you buy and sell. Pragmatia is intending to settle, to open a business there and stay there longer term. So when we say that you're not allowed to settle in Egypt, but you're allowed to go there for schora and pragmatia, we're saying not just you can go there for the market day and come back, you can even go there and open a business and stay there for years. The only prohibition is to say, you know, I think Egypt would be a nice place to raise a family. I'm going to go there and my children and my grandchildren and everybody will live there. There's no evidence that the Rambam ever intended to do that. And his family did stay there for five generations before they then moved back there to Israel. But there's no evidence that was his intention. He went to Egypt because for reasons of livelihood. And even if he intended to stay there for a number of years, right, but it wasn't his intention to make that the homeland of the Maimon family. And therefore, it would be permitted. But according to the Aruch HaShulchan, even to go there for a long term, for business reasons or for reasons of livelihood, would be permitted. So that would answer the question on the Rambam. We'll stop there. Tomorrow, we will talk about whether one is permitted to live in Spain and in Germany. And all of this discussed in the later poskim. But it starts with this discussion about Egypt. And so it follows from there. Have a good day.